Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. Got my head going from side to side, turn around. I got a bad neck. I shouldn't be doing that. On this 20th day of April, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to you folks up 85 in Norcross.
Oh, yeah, now. You up 85. Yeah, up 85.
Yeah, right on the other side, 285 there.
Yeah,
you're right,
man.
Up there.
There you go. There you go.
Jimmy
yeah.
Carter and all of them. So, yeah. Speaking of which, and God bless Mr. Carter.
Yeah.
Who and my father got something in common. But we were talking fishing earlier and how we hadn't done it. Or you've done it a few times. I hadn't done it at all. And we want to thank Dale Hill. He was good. Marketing director out there. I hope
he can catch up with his guy because he just took off and left.
That was pretty funny. And all of a sudden, his partner who's running the whole thing turns into Sonny Crockett and leaves him standing there. You do the interview. But it's coincidental that happened on this day. I don't ever remember hearing this story, but it was published because it happened to a president. But it was on this day that President Carter, during a break, came back down here to Plains, Georgia, doing some fishing, and was attacked.
Oh yeah, by the rabbit, wasn't
dude,
it?
Dude, you knew about this.
Man.
First of all, I didn't know he was attacked. Two, I didn't know it was possible that there was a thing called a swamp rabbit. That down there, like you make fun of Larisha. God bless Larisha.
You probably got them things under the front porch. They keep them things under the front porch down there where she comes from, man. They're house pits. That one just got out.
Ladies and gentlemen, on this day, President when it happened. President Jimmy Carter was attacked.
I think he caught a little grief over that too.
By a swamp rat.
Yeah, people that you the rabbit.
And there's pictures of it, and the thing swam. And that's the other thing too. I didn't know rabbits could swim.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I had never seen Bugs Bunny swim in no cartoon.
Some animals that you don't know. Cause deer can swim.
Really?
A lot. Yeah.
Look at the little hoofs. I didn't push them.
A lot of people. There are a lot of creatures that are able to navigate the waters that, you know.
Well, if you got alligators in there, I'd learn how to swim too.
Hey.
If I got to go get a drink. But, yeah, Jimmy Carter was attacked by a swamp rabbit.
Yeah.
Which would be a bad name for a football team.
You know what I mean? You get a team down that way. The fighting swamp rabbits, and here they come. You gotta just run out through the smoke.
what city would that be in? Not Brunswick. What's the one you I always get that confused with?
Oh, you talking about Bainbridge?
Bainbridge.
The swamp's not in Bainbridge though.
No, it's in Brunswick, right? That's where
Lewis is
from.
Brunswick. Yeah, that one that Waycross. Waycross. But they are the Gators. They are proud to be they own up to who they are.
Now that would be a matchup.
The Gators against
the swamp rabbits.
Swamp rabbits. You know, that would be good for a minor league baseball team. You know what I mean? Yeah, because you could sell all kind of merch with that, you know. Some kind of rabbit coming out of the water with his teeth coming at you. Yeah,
and then they go play an exhibition game against the Bananas.
Wow. Yikes. And people would show up for that.
Yeah, they would. That thing would be sold out in a minute.
The Bananas against the Swamp Rabbits.
Have you ever heard of a person getting fired, Sam, and then having a ticker tape parade shortly thereafter?
But it almost happened to the basketball coach out at Long Beach State.
That's true. And almost happened.
Yeah, almost. He gets fired, and then his team makes it into the tournament.
Well, this actually happened.
Yep.
On this day, a dude got fired, and they had a ticker tape parade for him shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
This was
Jimbo Fisher?
No.
He got paid enough for a ticker tape, but go ahead.
A name that's you can't tell the history of America without mentioning this name, General Douglas MacArthur.
Oh, man.
The man, I shall return, mm-hmm. corn cob pipe. The mm-hmm. man who was in charge pretty much running things in World War II and then Korea. And Truman said, I had enough of you. And President Truman fired him. And shortly after being fired, he had a ticker tape parade in New York City.
I do believe his desk is here in town.
What you mean is here in town?
I believe his desk is at the College Football Hall of Fame, if I'm not mistaken.
Hang on. General Douglas MacArthur's desk?
Yeah.
From where?
I don't know. It was the desk. I mean, maybe he had many desks, but anyways.
But why the College Football Hall of Fame?
You know, we have to get into that. We have to go over there and ask them why they got General MacArthur's desk.
But we'll see if we can find that out. In the meantime, I will leave you with other local tidbits.
You
I'm teeing
that.
Them up for you, man.
All right.
This is what Tyler does to me.
Hey, we do that. Yeah, how about that? We're going to get into some things that are happening. A few things are happening as the school year winds down for high school. We're a couple of weeks away, about a week and a half away from spring football happening. Next week, I'll probably run down a list of spring football games or scrimmages for you to be on the lookout for. We're into the state playoffs for tennis and soccer. Slow pitch softball, I think Creekview. Congratulations to them. They won the state slow pitch. So fast pitch in the fall, slow pitch in the spring. State champions. Mm-hmm. We're starting to get ready to start baseball playoffs and lacrosse for high school. So be on the lookout. Get out and support your area teams from your school and as they play the playoffs, as the weather's cooperating for them to play. Georgia Gwinnett College is about to add basketball. Do you know where Georgia Gwinnett College is, Greg?
I do not.
I think a lot of people may not. It'll be, if you go up 316, it just pops up there on your left. Just pops up all the school. They got over 12,000 students.
What?
It rolls over 12,000. A lot of people, I mentioned to a lot of people, and say, what? Where is it?
Yeah.
But it's about 20 years, just about, that it's been open there. And enrollment's right over 12,000 students.
Nice.
They've been playing sports. They've been playing men and women's tennis, men's and women's soccer, softball, and baseball. They're about to, in the 2025 school year, they're going to add men's and women's basketball. So that is coming up for them to add that as well. We got a list, and I'm not going to run down the whole list because we have the new list of nominees for the High School Football Hall of Fame for this year.
Uh-oh.
And we got some names that have made the list that people may recognize going all the way back to the 1900s, 1947. Frank Broyles, known for many years at Arkansas, played his high school ball at Decatur.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, he is on the list of people we want to talk to. Some folks that we've seen play for the Falcons, like Alfred Jenkins, who played for the Falcons many years, out of Hogansville. And people wonder where he went to high school. And played at Morris Brown. And played for Atlanta Falcons. Kim King, played at Georgia Tech, out of Brown High School, is one of the new nominees this year. Frank Pitts and Harold McClinton, is both guys were played in the first Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Played the high school ball here in the city of Atlanta. Got some other nominees and guys. We got Willie Gault.
There you go.
Should
have got that touchdown in that Bears blowout, but he didn't.
I'm just saying, Willie Gault, from Griffin.
I think he was the first. No, he was the second. No, there was a lot of guys who were Olympians that became NFL players.
Yeah, yeah. So
first
was
Bob Hayes was the first. Would you say
one of the first?
Okay,
I would say for sure. So this is one of the nominees. So we just got a big list of nominees, and when we get the final list, we'll get them, and we'll get IJ Rosenberg on to to talk about it and get people excited about the upcoming class of the week. We got Jesse Tuggle on here. We got Terrence Mathis on here. We got all kinds. We got Marquise Grissom. Right?
Really?
People don't forget that Marquise Grissom was a tremendous high school football player. And he's, I mean, the nominees are some names that people will remember. David Green from out at South Gwinnett High School, big-time player there. Kirk McGill from Brookwood. We got a lot of names, just some that have been nominated. And, you know.
What position did he play, if you know, Maurice?
Who?
Maurice Grissom. Football.
Marquise Grissom, quarterback.
Oh, he was quarterback?
Oh, yeah, he's quarterback.
Hmm.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
He was QB at Lakeshore High School. Same alma mater as Matt Stewart, friend of the show. They both went to Lakeshore Lancers.
The Lakeshore Lancers.
They were truly at the end of the runway. I'm serious. The school is right off Camp Creek Parkway, and so you know the planes land over Camp Creek Parkway. So I mean, truly, the planes would land practically right over their school. So yeah, they're on that list. Things happening around the area, and that's what you want to get into. Some things happening.
Well, you know,
something happened at one of your favorite places.
My favorite place.
One of your favorite places.
All right, and that would be.
And that would be Pullman Yards.
Oh, okay.
Pullman Yards.
We got to get Kate. Shout out to Kate.
Okay.
Over there.
They got the Sweetwater 420 Fest going on. Yep, there you go. You know it.
Actually, 420 would be something else. I'm just going to use the alcohol-induced sound effect because I don't want to do the other one because it's Saturday morning.
No, it was Sweetwater 420, of course, is brewed here locally, and they're going to have music and all and great.
I guarantee you're going to have some fun from Jamaica.
You'll have a good time out there when you join them. In Chamblee, they're having the Chamblee Fine Arts Festival is going on. If you want to go in Chamblee, you got a lot of different things to see and do there. So you get paintings, metals, ceramics, jewelry, mixed media, fiber art, you know, woodwork, photography, candles, soaps, and all types of things, pet products, all kinds of stuff. From 10 to 6 today, that is going on in Chamblee. Arts Festival happening today and tomorrow. You want to go out and enjoy that as well.
Yeah, I got to go out there maybe and get something.
Yeah,
I'm worried.
What's wrong? Why are you worried?
Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
She's been limping, you know, and I don't know that it's an actual issue or is she just living too good and she getting fat?
Oh,
because Jesse's always been somewhere between 35 and 40 pounds, you know, depending on the year and how much exercise she gets. And going into this year, she got to get back on the treadmill. She's about 42 pounds.
Okay.
Jesse's been living good. Now, Jesse's been living getting older.
Good living.
Yes, she has. Given where she started off in life, I don't mind making sure that she lives well, but she's got a little hitch in her giddy up in that front right paw, and it's bothering me. And I don't know what I'd walk into traffic, something happened to my girl.
Yeah, man.
So I'm going to worry about that. So we're getting some ointments on there. We're getting some treatment. Maybe take her to the Hawks training facility. Get her some work, you know. Anyway.
I'm surprised she's not right there up under you anyway. Because usually
she's still in bed.
Oh, really?
Oh, she's not getting up for the show. Unless it's just me and it's later on, like, about 10 o'clock, you know, just before the 10 o'clock break, then she might come flying in here.
Okay.
But for now, no, she's just listening to us.
Okay. I mean, usually she's right up on it. Also, in Smyrna today, the Atkins Park Crawfish Boil is happening today and tomorrow there in Smyrna. You want to go and check? I mean, that sounds like something, you know, Cajun feast. Yeah. So that's something else to go to. You know, kids 13 and under are free to enter. So they're going to have live music and good food with a little Louisiana flavor. Mm-hmm. That'd be great, you know.
I still ain't eat no gator.
You know, well, maybe they will.
I ain't eat no gator. I don't care what you put on it.
Yep.
I don't care what you dip it in, how much cheese. If I know eventually I'm biting into a gator, I can't turn my mind around. So, like, if you don't tell me and then tell me afterwards, that's different.
You won't bite the gator, but we won't want the swamp rabbit sneaking up behind you.
I don't want that either. I don't think I've, you know what? I don't think I've ever in life even eaten rabbit. Not that I wouldn't. I
was at some a relative's house and they were having some and they didn't let me know it until after I was eating.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's how I want to do it.
That's kind of how they did me. I said, really? Okay. Do you want some more? No.
I actually ordered conch once. That was my biggest reach out.
You were in the Bahamas.
Yeah. I mean, like a steak, not just as a fritter.
Okay.
I'm talking about a conch
steak?
Steak.
Wow.
And like they took the whole thing out. And
they fill up your whole plate?
Yeah, it was about the size of, you know, about your, you know, your whole hand. It was
okay.
Like that.
And okay.
It was chewy. It's a different kind of texture.
Okay.
But that's how kinda, far kinda, I ventured
kinda,
out.
Kind of like venison, kind of?
No, because there's no smell to it.
Okay.
Venison will hit you before you start cutting. You know that unless somebody does something, at least the venison I've had,
yeah.
I can smell it. It's approaching my, you know. So that was a whole thing growing up in, you know, in LA. They go up to Wisconsin, kill some deer, and bring them back down.
Here you go. Like,
No, thank you. Hey, do you wonder what's going on in my Noelle's world? Because we haven't had her on pretty much this whole show. She's been working very hard. Always wonder what Noelle's thinking.
That's coming up this hour.
Yeah,
but up next, she and I both will have our hands over our heart as we think of our alma mater.
That's what I want to
do. And welcome our coach. Coach Joel Taylor, new head football coach, University of West Georgia. Wolves getting set for the spring game that is coming up next. You stay with us. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, along with Noelle on the side of the glass. Ah, the fight song of the alma mater, the West Georgia Wolves, as they get set to play. Why are you laughing, Greg?
I'm enjoying you two, man. I'm going to sit back with box seats and listen and enjoy this segment.
Why?
Because you two, this is home. This is your, as you like to say, your home folk.
It is. Truly home folks.
Yeah.
Truly home folks, and really proud of what's happening. And we get a little sneak peek at it today. And joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline is new head football coach. And we still say he's new. Well, he is new.
He is new.
First game.
Right,
coach,
shiny.
Coach Joel Taylor.
I'm still undefeated.
He's still undefeated.
That's right, coach. good morning and welcome to Weekend Warriors with Sam and Greg.
Yes.
Hey, appreciate it, guys, for having me on, man. I'm excited about it.
Great to have you. And, you know, you landed there in Carrollton as the program goes through a transition. What makes this a great place for you, and how has things, you know, has the transition been going?
I tell you what, West Georgia is a tremendous place. You talk about location, you talk about the people, got great facilities. You know, there's not one thing I can say is bad about West Georgia. You know, and for me, a guy that never stepped on campus until I did my interview, I was shocked and amazed. Once I stepped foot on campus, I said, man. It took y'all this long to go to Division One, so so excited about them believing in me and giving me the opportunity to steer the ship into that direction. But the transition's been going good. It's been going good. You know, been doing a really good job of talent acquisition. That's not just players; that's coaches as well. We've been out here in spring, getting ready to have a spring game today, and it's gonna be a combination of everything. So. We're excited about the future, excited about these kids. I know they're excited about the transition as well. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, we just got to get it done. And like I said, right now we're undefeated. We're enjoying it. But we got a lot of getting better to do.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, talking to West Georgia's new bright and shiny head coach, Joel Taylor. And I guess, as you said, uncharted territory. You're walking into the campus, and you know the job. You know what's in front of you. But what are the things that I don't want to keep you up at night, but you're thinking about parts of your job that you really want to make sure you get right moving forward here?
Yeah, I think anytime you take a new job or new anything, you want to do a great job of building the foundation, you know, where this is going to be lasting. You know, it's not going to be a one-hit wonder. You know, so just, you know, just implementing all those things. I think our kids have grasped, you know, what we're trying to, you know, get done here as far as building the culture. You know, you want to do a great job of flipping a roster. Because at the end of the day, you know, once I set foot on campus, we had a Division II roster, and you're getting ready to go play Division I. So, you know, changing that roster. And when you change that roster, you know, some guys have to go, and that's tough. You know, I'm a people's person. It's not a business to me. It's not, you know. So when you got to have those tough conversations with these young people, that's probably the toughest thing that keep me up at night because, you know, we got some good kids here. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have today going to do a great job of, you know, talent acquisition, bringing in guys that can make me and make us a better coach. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
It's not
yes,
about
sir.
The Jimmys and Joes. It's about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and Joes, not the X's and O's. So we got to have some talent here. And, you know, that's probably the toughest thing for me personally is just having those tough conversations. But other than that, I think our AD and our president are fully behind what we're doing. You know, they got a great staff to help with the transition. Now, there's, you know, we don't have everything at once. You know, I think it's a process, but that's the beauty of it. You know, I enjoy the process. So just going through this has been good. Learning, you know, something new every single day. You know, this is my first role as a head coach. But I think I've, you know, got a long resume to, you know, help me, you know, attack these challenges as they come.
Yeah, long resume with a lot of playoff experience and an awful lot of success going all the way back to the Orangeburg, South Carolina. We're not going to take you all the way back to Orangeburg, Coach.
you do that, it's going to be a long conversation.
Yeah, we're not going to do that to you, your days in South Carolina State. Folks, we're spending time with Coach Joel Taylor, new head football coach, University of West Georgia. Spring game coming up today at 3 o'clock. Coach, I'm a proud West Georgia alum. We got another alum on the other side of the glass here, Noel White. Noel, you got something for Coach?
Yes, it's producer Noel Hill, Coach. And to piggyback on what you were saying about the Jimmys and Joes and not X's and O's, where do you think your greatest opportunity is right now, position-wise, heading into D1?
I tell you what, there's a lot, honestly. The first thing I would tell you, that's probably, I think, is the most important. You know, West Georgia is a bordering state. Basically, what that means is, you know, we get in-state tuition for 6 different states, including Georgia. So you're talking about Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and when I speak of those states, that's the Southeast. You know, that's the best football pedigree. So, you know, we're going to get a chance to really, you know, build our pool of players. We want to bring the right guys in, but we want to bring talented guys in, you know. But sometimes, you know, you are restricted in those type of things at other institutions. And for us, you know, we should, you know, be able to bring in some good talent, not only scholarship talent, but I think walk-on talent. I always say, you know, you got a good team. You got a too deep on special teams. You know, when, you know, you can get guys that can run down on kickoff, punt, all that. That means you got a deep team. You got a deep roster, which is important, you know, with, you know, the 11, 12, 13 game. If you make it all the way to the national championship, 16-game schedule, you know, that's our goal. So that's the one thing I think that, you know, overall is huge for us. I think also, you know, by, you know, we got, you know, really good facilities here, been blessed. They did a really good job, you know, when they built the place, I think in 2009, mm-hmm. Just having a foresight of, you know, growing this place. So, you know, when I'm doing the recruiting visits, you know, the kids are able to see the vision, you know, that I have for this place and the president. You know, the president wants to, you know, have West Georgia have a bigger footprint, you know, nationally, you know, not just known by Georgia. You know, we want to, you know, bring in, you know, students from, you know, all across, you know. And I think when you do that, I think you make our institution stronger, you know. So just excited about that opportunity.
Yep, Coach, I'm impressed with what they've done with their facilities. And I went to school there so long ago. All that area back there where the stadium is with just a bunch of deer and wild turkeys running around.
kind of beautiful. That's when they were the Braves, huh?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yep, back in those years. But, I mean, the football program started, and the first game they played was against a team from Birmingham, Miles College. Here you are moving to a next phase at a new level, and once again, you're playing a team from Birmingham. You got Samford August 31st. Well, what do you want to see from the team? You obviously, we're going to have a little show and tell today. But what you want to see leading up to playing this this very first opponent that's going to come to your place?
Yeah, I think it's easy, man. I want to see guys compete at the end of the day. You know, I judge success not off of wins and losses. I judge it off of growth. You know, as long as you continue to grow, you're going to continue to get better, and the wins and losses will take care of itself. But I want to see our guys, you know, go out there and compete. You know, we're trying to build a tough-minded team that go out there and handle all adversity. Now, you know, they're going to face some adversity with Samford. You know, just me, you know, being at a SoCon for 9 years, I got a chance to go against old Chris Hatcher down there, man. He does a phenomenal job running his program. They got an offense that's high-powered. They go extremely fast. So defensively, man, let me tell you, when you get guys tired, it's hard to play now. And then, you know, he's trying to fix that defense over there to try to stop us as well, man. But it'll be a great challenge. I think it'll be a tremendous first game for us, you know, first Division I game. I think ever, you know. So I think it's an awesome game to start out going against a team like Samford coming from the SoCon. SoCon has so much history and pedigree, you know, and hopefully we come out with a win.
Yeah. Speak about your conference now, United Athletic Conference, and Noel and I have both been looking at this, and we need to bring out our you know, Google Maps or something. You guys got games all over the place. All the way out, you got a team from Utah.
Well, when you step up to D1, what you expect?
Well, I mean, well, you know what? It's kind of, you know, they're going into this, and it's new. And it's really a hybrid of two conferences, right?
It is. So the United started last year. So what happened, they took the WAC, which, you know, those Texas and Utah teams, and joined it with the A-Sun, you know, which is the East Coast teams, basically. You know, you got the Eastern Kentuckys, the Austin Peays, the Central Arkansas, you know, now West Georgia, you know, going to go over and play the teams like Tarleton State, Abilene Christian, Stephen F. Austin, go over to Utah and play Utah Tech and also Southern Utah. So, yeah, we're all over the place. You know, even if it's Division One, that is abnormal, you know, because, you know, you got teams like, let's say, you got the Southern Conference. You know, all those schools are somewhere in the South except, you know, for the Virginia school. You know, even the MEAC, you know, you have, it's all Eastern boarding, you know, schools. So for us to make that cross-country trip, you know, I think it's, you know, first off, you know, some people don't think about the budget. You know, you got to have a charter flight. And them charter flights ain't cheap now, you know. Instead of taking a bus that's, you know, 25, 30 grand, you know, now you got to get a charter flight, that's going to be 100 or 120 grand. So, you know, but it's cool. You know, the one thing, you know, I love about football, man, is there's so many things I love about football, but the one thing, you know, for me personally, I got a chance to see, you know, a different part of the world, in a sense, you know. You know, so those kids, I've never been to Utah before, so so those kids are going to get a chance to experience some other things, which I think is cool. I think it helps their growth. You know, so I just think it makes us a better team, but also, you know, better people and better students.
And you ain't got to worry about them getting any alcohol in the airport when they land.
You ain't got to worry about none of that.
You ain't got to worry about that, Utah. Listen, Joel Taylor joining Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Now that we're all friends here, and we have had such a wonderful time talking to you, I have to throw something in here. I've been listening to you answer Noel's question and Sam's question, and I got to be honest with you, I'm feeling kind of sorry for people in your position, not just you personally, but everybody who's entering into the coaching world right now, Sam. And here's why. When this gentleman learned, whether he played coming up, and when he learned to be a coach, a football coach, confident enough to get into a program, it was probably a few years back, right? A few years ago, when you thought, I'm ready for this. I'm jumping in with both feet. The problem is, Sam, we have watched the evolution over the last 5 years that the sport has made what he has learned and is ready to throw his heart into. They've thrown some obstacles in his way. They've thrown the transfer portal. They've thrown money in a way at this sport that wasn't there before. My question to you, Coach, is you think about this when you're doing your job. It's more than just your job as a coach now. You got to have all this stuff on the periphery, in, you know, ready to wrap your arms around. And that's where my respect comes from you and the people who do what you do in 2024, because it ain't about the job that you learned and sweated over. It's now all this stuff that's been thrown at you. And I just want to acknowledge that, man. For those of you entering into the college coaching world and D1, God bless you.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And that is definitely something that's changed the game. The one thing that I tried to do, and I spoke about it earlier, is, you know, it's come more of a business, you know. The reason I got into the profession is to help and change young people for the better. And I try to keep that at my core, you know, at the end of the day. Now, you know, we're human beings. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're gonna adapt, you know. If we were put in any circumstances, you know, we're going to adapt. And the game is definitely changing, you know, with the transfer portal, with NIL, you know, and with NIL is more collectives. That's the thing I think that's really, really changed the game is collectives. Because NIL, you want kids to, you know, profit off of their name, image, and likeness. You know, you want them, you know, if somebody wants to, you know, use their face or their likeness or whatever, hey, if you want to do that and get money, that's awesome. But I think what really changed the game is the collectives, where now they are, you know, giving the kids money and they haven't even done anything yet, you know, and that's the problem that I have. And then now with the transfer portal, you know, those same collectives, you know, we, you know, say we're here at West Georgia and we want to be a developmental team. You know, we want to, you know, we're going to pluck out of the transfer portal from time to time, you know, but, you know, mostly we're going to have high school kids and develop those kids. And once you develop them, all of a sudden, you know, that collective be like, hey, man, you know, we'll give you $25,000, we'll give you $50,000. And for, you know, young people, they're gonna, I ain't gonna say young people, but for people, they're gonna take that. So that is the challenge that you know, now, you know, I guess us head coaches are challenged with now. And everybody asks me, is like, you know, how are you, you know, trying to combat it? You know, the way we build our culture here, and I tell everybody this, the way we build our culture here, we try to define it in connecting people. Mm-hmm. Because this is a people business, it's a people sport, you know, it's teamwork, you know, and how we do it as a, on a team level is, you know, we talk about good teammate, bad teammate, we talk about being a good teammate, right, getting rid of the bad teammate guys, and to be a good teammate, you have to serve and invest in people, okay? But we not only want to do that as a team, we want to do that on campus. Mm-hmm. And we also want to do it in the community. And when you do those things, you create tighter bonds, you create fans. But if you invest in serving those people, then they're going to turn around and invest in you. So, you know, just try to keep, create that connection. I think Carrollton's a wonderful place. It's a small town feel, but you got everything that you need. It's a football town. So, you know, just trying to then get those guys embedded into the community where if somebody flashes some cash, like, hey, it's not worth it, you know, to leave, you know, the people that I've grown with, I've built relationships with. But also, I hope these kids feel like they're developing into the best player that they can be. Because right. At the end of the day, that's what the most important thing is. Don't leave here for money and be a backup somewhere else. You know, stay here and develop, and at the end of it, hopefully, you'll get the real bag, NFL wise, at the end.
That's the bag everybody's been chasing. They're chasing. Yep. 3 o'clock today, down in Carrollton, spring game at University Stadium. Coach Taylor, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning.
Yes, sir, Coach. Thank you.
All the best, and look forward to seeing
y'all.
Look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all, guys, and go Wolves.
No right. Wolves.
There you go.
There you go. I'm going to put my hand on my heart. Just for you.
Put my hand over my heart. I'm going to put my hand over my wallet. Noel, you notice he mentioned how much them charter flights going to cost.
Yep.
And, you know, he would say that with two alums on the line, right?
Hey, let me put a cherry on top of that. On Steve Spurrier's birthday.
Yeah.
It is. Hey, listen. I wish you guys nothing but luck this year. It's going to be an interesting watch. It really is.
Yeah,
you guys
is.
Going up against the big boys, and you can't put what do you call it? Long flights is an you can't use that as an excuse.
No. It's on the schedule. It's part of the conference. What you have to do. All right. We heard from Noel just a moment ago. Time for more from Noel. Noel's World. That's coming up next. Oh yes, it is. You stay with us, Sam and Greg, on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
There you go. Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam Greg on this 20th day of April, Saturday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday and Sunday mornings. We'll be back tomorrow from 6 until 10. Got me thinking, Sam.
What's that?
As I'm listening to this, this mm-hmm. is one of those songs I used to play an intro to when I do something silly with, like, Wall Street, Gordon Gekko, you know. So something money-related is running through Noel's mind, and I'm wondering what that is.
I can tell you, Coach just wanted us to pay for them charter flights out to Utah.
Ooh, them alumni emails about to be coming.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's all of that. But you guys should be, you know. Y'all ain't wrote no checks to Yama Mata yet?
You wrote some checks. I read checks.
Yeah, okay. I sent Wolf Sports Radio a couple dollars.
There we go.
Every now and again, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to the media department.
There you go.
Okay,
you go.
So speaking of money.
Uh-oh.
We are going to talk about what I consider the hot button topic on Twitter this week, which was the WNBA players and what they make.
Or don't make.
Now, here is my stance. For somebody that's probably been outside dribbling a basketball 2 hours before school since they was 10 years old, probably not enough money. Probably not. But we understand the reality of the landscape, right? Where the money comes from, how people get paid. Revenue, right? Well, in my opinion, the WNBA is in a very familiar position. And if you watched my newly favorite cancel show on HBO the last two seasons, Winning Time, it kind of gives you a blueprint of where the NBA was at a certain time, how things started to change. And if you follow the tea leaves of the 90s, you start to see, you know, when the money really picks up. So, Bird and Magic have this big rivalry in college, right?
Right.
Have the big game in college.
Yep.
Magic wins the championship. They both go into the draft. So now all of this hoopla is entering into the NBA. In a time period where people felt like the NBA was at a 50-50 coin flip stage. It could make it or not make it. We just got the merger together. We're trying to save this league. The money looks a little bit funny. I mean, people were kind of looking at Jerry Buss kind of crazy. Like, why are you spending all this money on this league when nobody even knows where it's going? Nobody even knows if it's worth it yet, right? Okay, so we're growing the league. So the big players are making more of the big money. Some of the smaller role players, you know, they're diversifying their portfolios with, you know, businesses and boutiques and those types of things. Well, you know, your Magics and your Birds were getting endorsement money. They were, you know, advertising for the local Volvo dealership and the local Chef Burger and you know, maybe a Nike contract, maybe a Converse contract.
Those two, yep.
But when I mention those local things, that sounds like NIL, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we're doing the mom and pop grocery store. We're doing the local Volvo. We're doing the local boutique. Well, and until the TV money picks up, in the late 90s, that's when these players start seeing these kind of absorbent, kind of bigger than life contracts, right? Like Jordan famously doesn't see a big NBA contract, what we consider big at this point, until he comes back for that last three-peat. Well, that's a whole lot of basketball in between when he entered and that last three-peat. Nike was kind of pushing the needle with putting the money in his pocket. Gatorade was pushing the needle, putting the money in his pocket. Hanes was pushing the needle, putting money in his pocket. I mean, we can go on.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
But that's where the women are right now, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to get your money by becoming a personality and a player in college. And then that is going to carry over into the game. The eyeballs are going to carry over. And it's going to trickle. Like I said, Magic and Bird got drafted 78. Jordan don't see this money until almost 98. That's a 20-year gap of seeing this growth. But right now, you're at the beginning of the growth stages of the WNBA. They're going to make endorsement money before they make real WNBA money.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark is going to make way more money from Nike. She's already made way more money from State Farm.
Did you see who was at the draft?
Jake.
He had on
Jake is everywhere.
He had on a red suit or whatever that. He was front and center, man.
I mean, to get paid to be everywhere everybody wants to be is just an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, about
I mean,
that.
They sent this man to the draft, the WNBA draft, the NBA Finals, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everywhere they got a commercial where they paying top dollar, that's where Jake is. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin Clark is somewhere standing next to Jake talking about, like a good neighbor, X, Y, and Z. So that's where the money is going to come from.
You know what? You know what, Elson, and this is something that excited me this week, though, was who I heard is interested in being an owner in the WNBA.
Ooh.
And that's Serena Williams.
Yes, I heard
now
that.
Now, that's the other thing. You talked about from one end the money coming, but then how about having someone who's an influencer and, you know, and can influence and can draw people and can draw the money, you know?
Somebody get Serena Renee Montgomery's number.
You know what I mean?
Let's go. Let's make this happen.
You do that. Well, I mean, she may want to come here, but I mean, they're going to expand. They're going to get some new teams. They got a new team coming for the Bay Area. They got to expand because you got number of players who got drafted who are not going to make the teams that draft them.
Yeah.
You only got 12 teams. And so that's the other thing. But if you're going to expand, you got to know that there's more cash on the way. And I agree with you, Noel. The players now are going to be able to bring that money with them, you know, from the collegiate ranks, make those relationships with those sponsors that are going to invest in them at the next level. Because, first of all, we've become more familiar with them than we have the men's players because they stay in school and
stay
at the same
school.
You know what I mean? So we're going to, as far as brand goes, we're going to be more familiar with them. And I think that's what carries things up. I really do. I think we're getting ready to see that. And I don't know who else would be a good, you know, investor or an owner like Serena Williams, somebody else that's got that kind of cachet, I don't know.
The Bensons should take a shot at it. I actually think New Orleans would be a great place to pull a WNBA team.
Good. I could.
Listening to you, this has been interesting.
Who else is the kind of money? Would Rihanna want to? Would Rihanna want to be an owner of a WNBA team?
I mean, let's call up Reba and them and get one in Nashville. I mean, there are places, I think, that, you know, have people attached to it with money to do it.
Yeah.
And that have, like, Nashville is somewhere that has stuff going on but still has, I think, a sports market that you could get into.
They're looking to bring baseball up there, too.
I want to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Because you're playing tennis here at Center Court Wimbledon, and you're throwing around some great ideas, and I'm enjoying all this. So to the money and the ownership question or speculation, I'm going to throw a name at you. You guys tell me. Very successful. And you're talking about female owners, right?
Don't have to be female.
Well, no, I know they don't have to be, but you've been mentioning ladies. How you feel about a Kardashian? Rich, successful. That's all you care about, right?
That's not all you care about.
I'm just saying, not just
rich and successful, but, you know, I think in Serena's case, because she's been in the arena.
But what is she going? My thing is this. There's a lot of rich people. Steve Ballmer. We'll start at him. There's a lot of rich people that own teams. Then there's a lot of owners who help their teams get to get success.
And that's why I was looking at, because of course, you know, Serena could decide, you know, pick a city and they'll probably put it there. But that's why I like the idea of a Serena and a Renee Montgomery, because I'm a Dream fan.
Yeah.
Right.
And that would put a lot of eyes on it.
Okay. No, you're absolutely right. Again, I'm just, when you started mentioning, you know,
I mean,
women in business with deep pockets.
And that drives another point home. You know, what has been the sport that a female athlete can make the most money?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us go back to Richard Williams. He had two young girls who we knew would be pretty good athletes. And in Compton, California, they would play basketball and run track, but he put them in tennis. And they're multimillionaires. So, I mean, that's the other part of it. You know, he steered them. They could have, because I'm sure that's what was available to them in Compton during those years. But he put them in something else. She's at that level and, you know, trying to think of another female athlete that will be able to exert that kind of influence.
And again, all of this that you've been saying comes down to one thing. You can have a great athlete if they don't have that X factor, which is what brings the marketing dollar to them. It don't matter how great of a player they are. Let's take a look at the guy who just won the Masters last week. Top number one player in the world. If he walked into Walmart tomorrow, nobody'd know him. Or walked up and down in Buckhead, there'd be some golfers who'd know him. I just think that with this changing landscape, we don't know what sports, college or pro, is going to look like, correct? And where the money's going to come from. Because what we have heard over the last 6 months, very loudly in a couple different sports, is the players finally have the power, right? We've been hearing that. You know, players have power that heretofore they hadn't, whether it's financially or how to circumvent other sorts of rules and making decisions. And, you know,
we're about to see that with the NFL draft this week.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because what Harrison hadn't been combines or anything. And but he's going to be drafted probably in the top 5 or 6 players.
So, yeah, Caitlin is in the same position that Bird and Magic. But technically, Bird and Magic had to wait about 4 years to start that revenue stream happening because, A, Larry O'Brien was still the commissioner of the NBA. David Stern hadn't come in yet. And David Stern hadn't worked out that TV contract with CBS. Mm-hmm. So until
and
that
no
happened.
NIL.
Pardon?
So I said, and no NIL. So yeah, you know, no, but Clark but the bigger, and Angel Reese are, you know, ahead of them in that regard.
But nobody, the NIL then was the equivalent of Converse stepping up and giving these guys, them, Bernard King, Isaiah, McHale, of course, Larry and Magic, money for these shoes. And then you found out it really wasn't that much when you think about what
no,
Michael
it was
got
not.
And all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, those guys and a new TV contract is around the corner for the WNBA. That's when we will see the power that she brings, the existing stars in her league, and those ladies that are coming up behind them.
Yeah, this is the beginning because I expect a lot more eyes to be on USC next year with Juju Watkins coming back.
Yep.
So
yep.
A lot more eyes on UConn because Paige Buckner is coming. I mean, she's becoming internet superstar.
And the Olympics, too.
And the Olympics. I mean, like this really is their moment to push it as far as they can push it.
I'm sorry, Noel. We stepped on that. That was great.
We added to the segment. That's the conversation we're having.
You started something that drew us all in.
And
so, hey.
Yeah, I think when we talk about the money and the compensation, we might be worried about or looking at the wrong things right now. We should be looking at how it is about to explode, not how it's not there already.
Yeah.
Hey, Noel.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
This is for you. To that young girl who dribbled basketball every day going to school.
Uh-huh.
Today was the day of Michael Jordan's coming out party. Today was the day that at the end of his second season, he busted his I think it was his ankle or something or whatever. He was out for the whole foot. Excuse me. Broke his foot. He sat Stan Allback, had him sit the whole season, and he was starting to feel better as the playoffs were coming closer and the Bulls had a chance to get in there, and they knew they weren't going to go deep into the playoffs. This was 86. This was the Lakers and Celtics league at that point. But yet he made them put him in the lineup, end of the season, and then the playoffs, and against Boston in that first series, he put up 63 points in the Boston Garden. That's the
63-point
game, and that was his coming out party. They lost the series, but this is the day of his 63-point game against Larry. The best of those Boston teams.
Yeah.
That 86 team was the best of all of them.
I have a pair of shoes that says exactly that in them. It has today's date for that reason. It's a Celtic pair and a Bulls pair. It came in a pack to commiserate that exact thing right there.
There you go. All right, Noel. She's got another Noel's World tomorrow at 7:40. It is Sam and Greg. We are going to get into this 8 o'clock hour. We're up next, ladies and gentlemen. The feature that has, propelled us forward.
It's that time.
It's that time to give the stage to a 13-year-old or under. We are going to hear from Joshua Mosley up next. Going to talk to his mother, Natalie, first, but Joshua is going to be today's participant, and they got next. And we'll tell you how you can let us know about your 13-year-old or under who wants to get into this business. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.